Hey guys, welcome back to the C3 SYD podcast. I'm your host Jackson, and I'm joined here today with Pam Burrow.
Hello, nice to be here.
And we're talking about unfinished business today. We're going to be diving in to the topic of love. So let's jump in. Welcome back, Pam. So good to have you on the podcast.
Oh, it's so fun to be here, Jackson.
Pam is a theologian and just got such a deep understanding of the Word of God. So it's good to kind of unpack and run our thoughts up against what does the Word of God say.
Yeah, and not really a theologian, just someone who studied a bit of theology.
Yes. Pam is a wealth of wisdom. I sat under you for quite a few years in college.
Did. Yeah, it
was
fun.
Amazing, transformational. So shout out college if you're ever interested. Yep. Head to our website to find out more. But I want to dive in today. We're talking about love.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different to what most people think of when they think of love, right? Like the biblical love that Jesus came and died.
Totally different, right?
Yeah. It's really, I think now, well, a lot of people view love as I'll jump on an app and I'll swipe left and right and hopefully I'll find whatever this love is. But scripturally, it kind of looks a little bit different, right?
Looks so different because that sort of love can be disposable, right?
Yes.
It can. And even we live in a society where it's very easy to divorce.
Mm.
And I'm not undermining the pain that some people go through in divorce, but, you know, and then friendships get broken.
Mm.
But the love that Jesus has is almost the opposite.
Yeah.
Because it's a love that made a decision at the beginning of time to lay down his life for us.
Yep.
And then chose it and walked through it. And, you know, that's his greatest expression of love is seen on the cross, that he chose it. He didn't back away from it. And it's not just that he died for us, but that he took on evil and sin. It's just the most horrendous thing that he did, but he did it, it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, because he loved us so much, because he didn't want to be out of relationship with us, because he cared about us. And so it's his greatest expression where he could have easily, you know, chosen a different way, but he laid down his life.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And then
it's a huge, huge sacrifice.
Huge sacrifice.
Yeah.
And just all the things that went into it before too, you know, he was humiliated and misunderstood and all the things that we find very difficult, like being misunderstood, being embarrassed, being humiliated, all those things.
Yeah, right.
He chose them.
Yes.
And kept going through them out of great love.
Yeah.
And I think lots of times we, you know, great love requires that sometimes.
Yeah.
Requires being misunderstood, right?
Totally.
But it requires sometimes keeping your mouth shut when someone's betraying you or, you know, and yeah, we would all shy away from that sort of love, I think.
Yeah, like in an ancient term, you know, 2,000 years ago, God showed us his love in that way of endurance and a cross. But what does that mean today and now? Us living in a society where we've got love framed in one way, but what does it mean to lay down your life now? What does it mean to sacrifice now? Things like being honest.
Being honest.
Yeah, showing, you know, love in a hard conversation.
Because the thing with those things is that they take risk.
Mm.
Because you're risking losing a relationship.
Yeah.
You're risking someone misunderstanding you.
Yeah.
You're risking all the things that Jesus did for us. You're risking them because you care about the person too much.
Yep.
Not to have those hard conversations.
Yeah.
And not to go there. Like, and I mean, Jesus on the cross is one thing, but how Jesus lived his life as well.
Mm.
He spoke to people with great truth.
Mm.
Also with great, you know, encouragement and love and like what we would see as love. But love cares enough to say, hey, I'm worried about you.
Yeah. Over avoiding something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And leaning in.
It's much easier to avoid it, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's very easy. I think even not just intentionally avoid it, but distract yourself.
Yes.
I think in this day and age, it's very easy to kind of go, oh, like I have this feeling, it's not giving me joy. So I'm going to go and find joy superficially in like going on to a podcast that might bring me joy versus this is something that I should be working on.
Yeah.
How can I bring truth into a situation but carrying it in love?
Yeah.
Or just self-sacrificing, living in a selfless way. Like that's hard.
Yeah. It's really hard.
It's so hard.
Because I love that definition of selfishness. It's not, and humility is not that you, it's just you think about yourself less. That whole concept of thinking about yourself less, not thinking less of yourself.
Yes.
And so it's like, what do other people need, and how can I build my life in such a way that there's enough space, that there's enough margin in my finances, in my time, but also just in my compassion?
Yes.
Because, yeah, a lot of us are like, we're kind of running on empty.
Yeah.
And we run on empty in pursuit of the things that we want.
Yes.
And we forget that actually we need to create some space and some margin so that we have stuff to give to other people.
Mm.
I love, someone said once, Jesus was interruptible.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times we're not interruptible because it's messing with our schedule.
Yes.
You know, don't bother me now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was driving to have breakfast with someone on Friday morning and I saw a guy on the side of the street who was clearly struggling with his mental health.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in the gutter and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now.
Mm.
And I just listened to something about the Good Samaritan. I'm like, I actually called the police, but it's like, which offloaded the problem. Yes.
Yeah.
But then anyway, that was a long story, but you know, it's like, I'm driving thinking,
what could I have done? Yeah.
Could I have stopped and helped him?
Yeah.
Should I have stopped and helped him? And, you know, then you go through, well, I'm a woman, he's a guy, is it safe?
Yeah.
All these things. But, you know, that's kind of an easy one in some ways. We have neighbours, we have friends, we have family in our own world.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we've got to, you know, make time to stop, right?
Yes.
Be interruptible when someone is in need. Be interruptible when someone needs that.
Yeah.
Truth spoken to them.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like in most cases, Jesus was always on, what they say, he was on going from one meal to another meal.
But exactly.
In transits where he found people but came across people. But seeing how we can actually outwork love as he did is actually hard because we're actually, you know, we might be going from A to B just like him going throughout our day.
Mm.
But I think what Jesus had, which is different to us, is his head up. He had his eyes to see.
Yeah.
And being able to like look around.
Yeah.
Like for me, yesterday I was jumped into the local IGA and was getting something. And I was served at the counter and I went to go out the door and there was this elderly gentleman and I was like, oh am I going to have to go around him? He's taking his time. Like, and I was like, I need to get back. But then I was like, oh, I'll actually take this moment in. And I could see that he was clearly struggling out of walking stick. Yeah. And I said, hey, do you need a hand there? And I just like helped him to his walker, which is outside. And we just got chatting and he's like, oh, I had a stroke. And I was like, aww. Oh, wow. Like, oh, that's really hard to hear. But, you know, you look like you're on the mend. And he's like, yeah, I'm on the mend. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like I could have had an easy moment of where I went selfish and went, I'm going to duck out this aisle and get home quicker. Yeah. But just being open and having your eyes open to see, I think it's just such a great thing to just begin to love and having capacity for that.
Having capacity to, like you had space, you had compassion capacity.
Yeah.
Because I reckon there's lots of compassion fatigue around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so much.
What's that kind of mean, compassion fatigue?
It means like because we're bombarded with all the horrible things happening in the world at the moment, and we have been for a long time through social media and the internet, we run out of compassion for people because we've used it all up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes we use it all up on situations that are far away. And I'm not saying we don't care about what's going on in the world.
Sure.
But if you've spent all your compassion on what's happening overseas and you don't have any for the people in front of you.
Wow, yeah.
It's kind of out of whack, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But because we're bombarded with so much horror in the world, we can get fatigue from caring about people's issues.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's a thing that happens to us.
It's like a desensitizing, right?
It's like a desensitizing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know any other way except getting back into God and letting Him fill you afresh with fresh love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, being filled so that you can pour out. Because I think that what you're saying is people are operating on empty.
People are operating on empty. Because they've just
poured out of their, like in their cares.
Yeah.
That's such a sad part of our society. And what do you think, like, you know, you kind of just unpacked it a little bit there, but like, what would be the answer? What would it practically look like?
I think the answer is sometimes getting ourselves off social media for a little while.
Yeah, sure.
So that we can, you know, I've just taken it off my phone because I mean, I still have social media on my laptop, but I'm like, and I know for some people that's probably horrifying, but
yeah.
I just was like, I'm seeing too much, especially right now when we're recording, there's a war going on.
Yeah.
And I was just seeing too much and I was getting overloaded with things that I can't do anything about.
Yeah, sure.
And feeling concern and worry for things that I have no ability to bring change to.
Yeah.
I mean, I can pray and that's important.
Yeah.
But I was getting too overwhelmed and so I went, I'm just going to take it off my phone for a while. And so I think stepping away, getting, you know, getting with God and letting Him fill you afresh, doing some things that are just good for your soul.
Mm.
You know, a walk on the beach, things – getting yourself in a place where you can go, where you can step back a little bit and get a bit refilled.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, filling up again.
I think getting around great people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Especially people that are pouring out the love of God into your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I want to be more of a person that is that wants people want to be around.
So that people feel better when they've left you.
Yeah, rather than being drained. Because we all have those. You know, people that you go, oh gosh, I got to hang out with this person. Yeah, but what if we could be, you know, show that selfless love and feeling of people, and just that's just being encouraging, right?
It's just being encouraging, being positive.
Yeah.
Like cooking for people.
Yeah.
Like showing hospitality.
Yeah.
Doing what they think. I was talking to a friend who's got her 96-year-old dad living in her house, and it's quite draining.
Wow.
And I had all these ideas of what I think I could do for her, and I just said to her one day, what would be best for you? And she goes, just go for a walk with me every now and again.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can go for a walk with you.
Yeah.
Like just finding out, I think,
quality time
and finding out what people need, not what we think they need.
Totally.
Because I don't know about you, but I'm always convinced that I know what people need.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, birthdays come around. I just say people don't buy me things because I know that they don't know what I want or need.
Right.
And, like, I'm not a big gift giver myself. Right. But if I do, I really spend time asking them, talking to them about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting thing. Back to, you know, Jesus in normal and modern situations.
Yeah.
What about forgiveness and unforgiveness?
Oh, my gosh.
Big one, hey?
It's huge. And I think it's so much part of loving people is forgiving them, because we're going to have to always forgive people, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we are, because life is bruising.
Yeah.
And people do things that disappoint you, and also you do things that disappoint other people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there's got to be forgiveness flowing in relationships for for love to be there.
Yeah.
And it's so not easy.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's really hard.
It's really, really
it's
hard.
It's really easy to say, I forgive you.
Yes.
And it's really hard to live it out. And forgiveness doesn't mean that in some situations you can forgive someone, but you also don't need to let them back in your world.
Mm.
Like, reconciliation's not always part of forgiveness.
Okay.
Like, there's people that have done things to you that are damaging.
Yeah.
That you actually need to you don't have to have them back in your world. But then there's other people that you need to have just done something to annoy you, aggravate you, whatever.
Yeah.
And or just hurt you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people closest to us hurt us the most, right?
Well, I think without forgiveness, we're usually just sitting in unforgiveness, right?
Yeah.
And they say that unforgiveness is drinking the poison that you meant for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
I love one of my favorite poets, Buddy Wakefield, said, forgiveness is for anyone who wants safe passage through my mind. And wow. When I think of that, I'm like, well, yeah, that's my heart for forgiveness, is that whenever they come to my mind, I'm not thinking or ruminating.
Yes.
It's I've just let it go. And it's not, as much as forgiveness might be for the person to feel like that they can, that they're forgiven, it's actually for us as well.
Absolutely.
It's a two-way.
And without forgiveness, your relationship gets clouded.
Mm.
And it gets impacted. And even if you think it doesn't, it absolutely does.
Yeah.
Because there's this thing sitting in between you. I have a friend who I've been friends with for decades.
Long time.
Yeah. And in our 20s, she ripped into me. And it was awesome. And I was a couple of hours long and she was very upset with me.
Mm.
And honestly, it took me probably a year to forgive her that conversation.
Wow.
But I would say every day in my prayer time, I was like, God, I forgive her.
Yeah.
And it, you know, at first I didn't feel it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't feel it at all.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, I'm just angry.
Yeah.
So what you did was wrong, right? But then after about a year, I could forgive her and let it go.
Mm.
And thank goodness I did, because now we've been friends.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that thing would have always been between us.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like the greater the problem or the sin or whatever's happened against you, the more forgiveness that's
–
and sometimes I feel like it's actually beyond us, more than we could ever in ourselves.
It is actually beyond us.
And you go, well, I actually can't forgive this person, but Christ is calling us to, right?
Yeah.
And that's the selflessness of like laying down your life and going, okay, look, like I can't do this, but God's going to help me forgive this person. Why? Because we're forgiven.
Because we're forgiven. And actually that's what love looks like, right? Yeah. Is that we lay down our preferences and we lay down our hurt and we go, I'm going to choose to forgive.
Yeah.
Because he forgave us.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty full-on things in the Bible about if you don't forgive other people, you know, it creates a distance between you and God as well. Because it becomes a thing that you're harboring.
Yeah. Your heart's hardened.
Your heart's hard. Yeah.
And if God's like calling us to love one another
and
you've got this thing, like this little wedge of unforgiveness, it's like, it's a hard thing to, like all of these things we've been talking about are great on paper, but it's so hard in practice. And I think the key to all of this is not to do it alone. Like we can't do this in our own love, not in our own strength.
No.
It has to be out of our relationship with God, right? Yeah,
100%. We have to receive his love so we can give it away.
Yeah.
But also we have to do it in community, right?
Yeah.
We have to do it with people that show us how to do it imperfectly at times.
Yeah.
But that, so that we're in a community where there's a lot of people receiving God's love.
Yep.
And they're showing us how to live.
Yeah.
Showing us how to forgive, showing us how to receive God's love and give it away.
Yeah. Well, guys, we run out of time here. This is a big topic, but if this has sparked any kind of curiosity, or maybe you're like, I want to know more about what is this love that they're talking about. I've never heard of it, never felt it, never received it. We're unpacking this and a few other topics through our Unfinished Business series at our church locations. So head to c3syd.church to find a location near you, and we can't wait to be on this journey of Unfinished Business with you. Catch you soon.
See ya.